Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Titleless word, but wait. The former trusts have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, and till the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So I would wonder today, where did God go? Y'all seen him? Where did God go? Because we surely can't find him. The Holy Ghost, the third member of the Trinity, is God. It's as much God as God the Father, as much God as God the Son. We can't find him. And I feel that we're sadly yet waiting. So what is it we're waiting for? You see, the order was given to wait. Wait for what? The answer is, of course, power. He said, you're going to be endued with power. Power from on high. I don't know anybody that does that. I can't say I know anybody that has that. Power from on high. The power. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've seen a lot of counterfeits of such. I've seen the real thing. But I haven't seen it in a good while. So I'd ask you, have you received it as yet? Or are you yet waiting? I'm of the opinion that sadly, all of religion, the churches, so-called churches, that's another sermon, that the churches are yet waiting. They're waiting. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was of the opinion that the Holy Ghost has been missing from the church since 1850. Now you get that? 1850. And he believes that the most detrimental thing that ever happened was what they call the Victorian Age. Things started to change. We don't go into that this morning, but you can look it up for yourself. And he's talking about the entire church. So here we are, our group, our tribe. Here we are some 20 years or so down the road. Are we yet waiting? Do we wait at all? Are we even interested? Or we just want to come together and meet and fellowship and eat and share the word or hear the word? Or are you waiting? Do you pray for the Holy Ghost? Do you pray for this gift? Do you pray for this power? We have all the answers, all right. We know all about doctrine. We know all about Bible, law, grace. We know all about Christ, and we know how to live and what to do and what not to do. We've got all the answers, do we not? But I find this still waiting. On the Holy Ghost. The power. That which others would observe in us, and they'd be in awe of. That's what they were here, if you read the account in Acts. That where others, they might simply look upon us and see. And see something different. It could be even the outward signs such as Moses and others. There was something different about them. Do you think that you're like John Bunyan? Jonathan Edwards? Any of the others I could name prior to 1850 that were endued with this power on high? I read their works, and I know that their words, their works, were inspired by God, by power on high. Jonathan Edwards, men would cry out for mercy in terror for their souls. Now, don't get me, I don't speak as a whole, because I've witnessed such. I've witnessed men out prone, and I mean an assembly, screaming out to God for mercy. And I've heard and read of such outpourings sometimes. But as a whole, we've organized and educated the Holy Ghost from our midst. And worse, we've preached him from our midst. That's the worst part, from my standpoint. We've preached him away. We won't allow him in. You get that? We're so organized. We're so educated. Preached from our very midst. Look at the qualifications. I used to read these so-called preacher want ads, and the qualifications. Holy Ghost-filled preacher? They're scared to even mention it. They're scared of the words. And they want everything in a preacher except power. And that's the last thing they do or even acknowledge. They actually deny that that power even exists today. There's so much more to the power and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost than just a gift of tongues. Like I said, so where did God go? Where is that power, that anointment, that anointing? Now I ask you, is it evident to others that something's happened to you? I know they see us a little bit different, but for what reason? You see, we must be very cautious here, because these folks hadn't changed anything. They looked just like they always had. They didn't change their clothes. They didn't change the way they spoke. It was just who they were. They did speak different words. You could tell that but they were still just who they were. They hadn't stopped, you might say, not that they did, but as so many do today. They hadn't stopped drinking and smoking and wearing different apparel and such. You know what I'm speaking. There was simply something different about them, a power. Surely we can remember Christian and Pilgrim and the Pilgrim's Progress, and especially in Vanity Fair. And if you haven't read it, I'd pray you'd read it. What happened when they got to town? They said, they're not like us. Who are these people? They're not like us. It wasn't because they're just not like us. There's something different here. They were different, and it cost Faithful her life. It killed her. You see. So I'm going to read you a refrain from Pilgrim's Progress about Faithful when she was martyred. Brave Faithful, bravely done in word and deed. Judge, witnesses and jury have instead of overcoming thee, but shown their rage. When they are dead, you'll live from age to age. Faithful. And here when Christian went on his way, remember he escaped, he got out of there. He lived. Faithful didn't. Christian lived. And you remember what he sang? The Pilgrim's Progress said that he sang. His friend, his dearest friend, Faithful. Just been killed. And he sang. Well, Faithful, you have faithfully professed unto thy Lord with whom you shall be blessed. When faithless ones with all their vain delights are crying out under their hellish plights, sing, Faithful, sing, and let your name survive. For though they killed you, you are yet alive. You see. Ha! How glorious. How different this from others who perish without hope. There's Christian singing a song of joy for his faithful friend. I fear that, and this is a huge problem, and we all had it. Maybe we have it now. That we cling much too strongly to this life below. We're anchored. And we take our eyes off the prize. Getting attached here was never the objective of a Christian, of a child. Getting attached here in this world. Never forget the journey. Some of you remember it. We surely are to be but passing through. So don't plant your roots too deep, you see, because your day is coming. Tomorrow, you see. We're to be light to others. Remember, we're also to be salt. I was reading this morning Matthew, and people so misuse the judge not, lest you be judged. But he said first, he doesn't say not to judge your brother. He just says, get it out of your eye first. You see? Get it out of your eye first. So be salt. Now I've rounded the corner. Now I'm headed for home. But many of you are just setting out. And he said, but wait. Make sure you've received your gift from on high. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. I meant to bring a book, and I wanted to read you a passage. You say, well, that's not my way. Look, I read it to Melissa this morning about Amos the prophet. He said, man, I'm not a prophet. He said, I take care of cows. But he said, God's bidden me speak, the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. God told me to say this. He wasn't an elephant. He said, I'm a simple man. Probably not educated. He was a rancher. You say. But wait. Make sure you've received your gift from on high. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointing presence of God on your life. The peace, rest, joy, hope and such, of such a filling, of such an outpouring. You see, you only pass this way once. We don't get two shots at this thing. Jonathan Edwards was very well acquainted with such, and thus he wrote a book I gave everybody a copy of years ago. I think I'm still the only one that's read it. Religious Affections. A Guide to True Religion. Now, at this hour in conclusion, I must say, for your benefit, and by God's command, give up all hold on things below. Boy, that's tough. I'm staring at families and that, but that's what God said. Did he not say it? Give up all hold on things below until you seek and long for only Christ. Our ultimate example, Abraham. He had a boy he waited 100 years for. God said, sacrifice him. Most precious thing in the world on the earth. And he said, I'll give it. And of course, God the Father had his only begotten son at but only 33 years of age. 33 years of age. He gave his only begotten son. Now we'll read one scripture before we go. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'd like to read verse 36 through verse 39. Put us in remembrance, you might say. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me, not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me, not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, not worthy of me. But he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So rightly he says, wait. Wait. Don't let gravity and worldly affections hold you down in sadness. He said, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Wait, rejoice. We sing, especially this time of year, hark the herald angels sing. Be endued with power from on high. Show the world that we belong in the sky. That this world is not our home, that we're just passing through. And truly then you can say, but my hope is built on nothing less, you see. But yours? But wait. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? All these things in life. And you're waiting on this, and you're waiting on this, and you're waiting on this, and that we're waiting to eat, we're waiting for the service to be over. But wait, he said, for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me.